This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Hello, you lovely people. You're listening to the Funny Mummies with me, Hattie Ashdown, and
me, Gemma Beakley.
And these are the very special mini pod sessions where over, I think it's probably going to be just these school holidays, but you never know. We might do them for longer or bring them back again. We're bringing you just these mini pod sessions that you can fit in your pocket while you're hanging up the washing. Oh, it sounds so 1950s.
My goodness. In case you're holidaying in the 1940s.
Or, you know, you're getting ready to go out.
Yeah, or you're...
That's better.
Or you're fixing a car.
Yeah, you're underneath a bonnet.
You're hanging a picture.
Putting up a shelf, oh God. Actually, I am more the DIY person in this house. So we're quite, you know, modern in that way.
Are you good with a drill?
No, I think I could be, as in it's quite a new thing that I've started to go, actually, why am I, like, this sounds, again, so sexist. 4 or 5 years, I keep saying, I want to change this blind in one of the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And it was more just a thing of, like, not trusting myself. And then after 4 or 5 years, I've gone, right, I'm just going to sort it out then. Because what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
And actually, my husband had a very, very equality upbringing because his mum, he said, you know, she was the one, if I came home, she would have taken a Hoover apart and she's trying to fix it. So he grew up in a household where it was, you know, good in that way. His dad did a lot of the cooking and his, you know, his mum was the one doing all that sort of stuff. But I did not grow up in that sort of household. But I'm just, yeah, I think it's just fear of thinking I can't do it. So what I did after 4 or 5 years, Gemma, was I just got my brother-in-law to do it.
Okay. So that's you taking the bull by the horns. You outsourced it.
Instead of walking away and just making him a cup of tea, I went, right, show me how you do it. I'm more the attitude of, like, I've got to learn if I need to do this myself. And I held things for him. Measured and he went, cut this. But I mean, obviously, you've had to do a lot of DIY. This is not what we're talking about today, people.
I haven't had to, but I've chosen to. And it is that thing. I remember... Unhappy in my marriage, the house was an absolute dive. It was just, you know, it wasn't being maintained, and my ex-husband was a builder, and so he did everything because he's the builder, right? You know, I did the numbers and he did the building work anyway, and he just wasn't getting done. My sister said to me, she said, "Stop moaning, you do it."
Mm.
Do you know what, Anna? She was right.
Yeah.
You know, go on to... So I've learned everything from YouTube.
On YouTube.
I mean, YouTube, there is no shortage of men wanting to have videos of themselves telling you how to bloody change a pipe underneath a sink or whatever. Oh, yeah, of course it is.
There's no women. Oh, that's the gap in the market. That's what you can do next, Gemma.
Oh, I mean...
Showing single mums how to hang up a picture of Will Young.
Yeah, I mean, it's niche. I don't know if that will work on the old Google search engine, but we'll give it a go.
I think I might have mentioned her on here before. There's a woman called Muck and Brass, everyone should follow. She's a woman and she does loads of DIY stuff and I love her. And a lot of the time it is just like a DIY porn because I dream of being able to do some of the stuff that she does. But it's more room. She's got like a whole warehouse to just sort of... She does stuff up. It's more doing stuff up. But talking of warehouses, this is lovely. We thought we'd talk.
Hello.
Toilet talk. Nothing to do with warehouse, but you never know. You might have a toilet in your warehouse. No, this was sort of inspired by myself, toilet training, my youngest. And then I said to Gemma, I did ask Gemma, I said, it's got me thinking about our whole relationship with the toilet. And whether that be, you know, I think don't be worried. If you listen to this and you're about to have a snack or something, we won't get that sort of graphic.
No, it won't be scatological, whatever it's called.
No. I mean, there might be a bit of like, do you have to save your poo to go, you know, when you go home? But other than that,
what, like in a bit of Tupperware or something. You mean hold it in.
Hold it in.
The idea of saving it like in a doggy bag. It's not really, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one minute. I've got, talking of the toilet training, I can hear a little cry. He's not very well today. So here we are, third of the way into the school holidays.
Mm.
And was going to have our first play date today. I was really looking forward to going around there, having a bit of adult conversation, half-finished conversations, sipping cold coffee, and then he wakes up with a flipping temperature. Bah, bah! but we are 6 days into toilet training, right. And I have to say, touch wood, he's doing so well. I was so dreading it because my oldest, as you know, bless him, still has trouble. He's six. He's going to be six next week, and he'll still have a bit of a tiddle in his pants.
So did you change up the technique, or did you just go for the same technique again? What happened?
I feel a bit guilty because we've done a complete different technique, and it makes you think, had we done this technique, would that have...
So what have you done this time?
Well, sorry, I keep thinking he's crying. Oh God, this is the boring bit. Right, my technique. I've often talked about them, Purple Parenting. Do find them on Facebook. They're brilliant. And I sort of did one of their workshops, and because I was like, right, I'm rolling up my sleeves and literally getting this done, because with Harks, we just did a kind of like slow kind of like getting the potty out after the bath, sitting him on it, like, you know, and making him sit there while he sort of had his snack, and did a lot of that. And then, before, you know, every time we sort of take a nappy off, we'd sit him, but we just sort of did a slow introduction.
Mm.
And then after that, it's a blur, because just remember, he could just never seem to know when he needs to go.
Yeah.
But with our youngest, we did the, okay, cold turkey, as in tomorrow, mm-hmm. you're starting. So he woke up, we went shopping, we got him to choose a pair of pants. That's what they say. So he chose his Spider-Man pants. And I said, tomorrow it's going to be new pants day, and it's going to be no nappies. And he doesn't really, you don't know if he's understanding what's going on. But that morning, first thing, nappies off, come down, put him on the toilet. And he sort of, resisted a little bit. But cut long story short, we sort of did the, put him on the toilet every hour to hour and a half.
Trying to catch him, yeah.
Yep, have a timer. And we had books in there, we had stickers, because you don't know what they're going to go for. He's loved the stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And we had books. So some of the time he'll sit there and just try and get them to sit there, because he will sort of go, I'm finished. And honestly, he's just been brilliant. He's even like been walking around and he'll go, I need a wee! And then he runs there. The problem is he's so little and he sort of has trouble getting his pants down and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And most of the accidents have been because of that.
Okay.
So he had one today, funny enough, but I was in the garden repotting a plant, because that's the sort of rock and roll life that I lead. And I think he got carried away on his frog tablet thing. Oh, as you do. And I came in and it was, but yeah, normally he has an accident, and even though he's having an accident, he's going, wah! Whereas Huck would never do that. Huck would have an accident and just carry on playing. And you're like, you've had an accident. But, he's really loved the stickers and, he's just been brilliant.
Oh, good boy. That's good.
I really hope it continues. What about Al? Was he quite easy to train?
Well, I was just desperate to always get to the next thing.
Yeah.
And not very good at keeping it in the moment. And all I know is that we just went, right, sod it, spoke to the childminder. Sort of going to go for it. And he was I know now, too early. He was 2 years and 5 months old.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I should say to everyone, my youngest is 3. Yeah.
And we cold turkey. So it's like, right, that's it. Only nappies at night now. And, yeah. And so I spent 3 months just mopping up wee and poo, pretty much. And but it was like, right, can't go back. You know, I was like, I was adamant. It's just like, no, we can't go back now. Just have to suck it up. And so it was, you know, I'd say, I remember it was February, and by May, I felt confident that I could go out with, you know, I could go out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, three months. Wow. And then maybe, and then by the time that he'd got good at that, actually, he was waking up dry. So then the nappy stopped then as well. So I'd say he was done by like 2 3/4, I'd say. And yeah. He's pretty good. But yeah, we've had some bed wetting. I've got like a special mattress just in case, just as I don't quite trust.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we've said before, as in our private chats, is that, you know, I think particularly with boys, there is an actual thing with boys that they're, as I was saying to my friend yesterday, who's a man, I was saying, well, apparently boys do have more of a problem, something to do with their receptors or something. And then he's like, yeah, and then basically just get a grip of it and then they become dribbly old men. Yeah. So basically it's just men are awful. Not joking.
We've got in my family there's a history of bed wetting. The family crest, the motto, wet the bed till you feel like it. Yeah, so there's always that concern that, and it is genetic, I think, a lot of the time. So there was always that concern that, you know, there was going to be bed wetting, but I think we're all right by the sounds of it. But yeah, it's just one of those things they just don't seem to be able to bloody cure, you know.
No, I think, yeah, everyone's different. And I wonder if, yeah, your relationship with, was you quite good when you was little, do you know?
Oh, I had a whole host of problems. I don't know if they were. I've been having urinary tract infections of one sort or another for as long as I can remember.
Really?
Oh, like since I was, for as long as I can remember, waking my mum up in the middle of the night. And saying that it hurts, yeah. It hurt. You know, I had infections.
Oh.
So I'd sit me in the bucket or a washing up bowl of salty water in the middle of the night. Goodness. It was just, yeah, it was like just the stinging pain, yeah. Yeah. Delicate. I've got a delicate little flower, Hattie. So if you imagine childbirth for me was an absolute knife.
Well, that's something we sort of got in common because, isn't that lovely? If we were on friends.com, we've both got delicate noonies, but mine in a different way because I can't believe we're talking about this, but let's just go there. She can't even see me. I can see her. My camera's not working. I remember my sister once said when I got I'm just going to say it because I think people have to be honest. I got chlamydia when I got chlamydia once. Mm-hmm. And obviously I know that's not just being delicate. You get that for a reason.
Yeah, you don't get that from, bad, like cheap knickers, do you?
Well, I did. I swear.
Supermarket bought underwear.
Primark, I'm coming back. I'm telling you now, right? I did not have chlamydia before. But now
I want my 99p for 5 back.
The ones that are just in the, like, you know, communal bit.
Oh, God. Help yourself. Pick a mix.
Help yourself. They don't do them anymore, do they? So I got chlamydia, and basically I'm telling you the end of the story because a host of other things happened. She said to me, oh, you have got a sensitive nunny, because it was just like she knew I was Mrs. Careful. I was Mrs. like normally Mrs. Careful and going to, because I was like, I don't really know how it happened. And because I'd always be someone who was like with a partner, I'd go, right, we're going to a STD clinic. I was all kind of like that. But I think it was with a partner who we, you know, I've been with quite a while and we'd done all the clinic thing. And no, maybe we hadn't. Maybe it was early on. Anyway, it happened. I could look up an idiot. But before that, I got so many other little things. I got this thing called Staphylococcus something or other. And I can't remember the full name. Staphylococcus, it's got a long name. And when I went to the doctors, I said, like, I was sore. And I said, I said, I can't have an STD because I haven't slept with him for ages. And he went, no, you've got this, which he said, it's just like a thing you get from the air. And I was like, well, I'm not going around with my fanny.
Just in the garden, legs akimbo.
Yeah.
Pointing to the sky.
I was like, I'm not a cat. I'm not going with bum in the air. He was like, you can just, he said, it's just everywhere. You can just catch these things. It's like, no, imagine how embarrassing I felt. I thought he must think, oh, she's a dirty girl. But yeah, I'm just, but not anymore. I seem to be fine now. And I can't believe it. That people think I've got a.
The thing is, I didn't read the article, but there was a headline, something about the number of women that suffer from, you know, urinary tract infections is crazy. It's like 3/4 or something, or 4 in 5. And there's not. It just seems to be one of those things that's just like, oh well, get on with it. You know, drink water.
Well, the only time I've had it was when, you know, you're having a bit too much.
Well, I used to get not chlamydia, cystitis a lot, and yeah, it was like kind of new relationship kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I spoke to someone and they said, like, you absolutely must empty your bladder before and after sex, like both, like absolutely.
How is that?
Wait a minute. But and you know what? Since that day, I don't think I've had much sex since being told that, but I've not had cystitis.
Well, there you go. I think
I'm tip, like, guys.
There you go. You get all the tips here. We get, but it's just, that's good though. It's cured.
It's brilliant. Like, it's cured it. Yeah.
But I think my sister told me the same because I went through a bit of a phase. Same thing. The same guy gave me chlamydia. The same guy gave me urine infection.
Name and shame.
Well, you know, he did. He was, you know, he was. He had big feet.
Sure. Big feet, big socks.
But I remember, my sister telling me that. And I was like, but, yeah, I just remember going, 1 minute, I just got to go to the toilet. And then go to the toilet. And you're like.
It's worth it, though. I mean, because the suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and that thing of, like, ringing in sick and going, sorry, I can't come in. And basically because I've been shagging too much. That's basically what you're saying, you know. So it's kind of like a recreational injury that you, you know.
Oh, no, you can't do. But I have ordered, I remember sneezing a lot.
Yeah.
And wet myself a little bit before I had children. And I went,
okay.
And they diagnosed me. And I remember having all the printout sheets saying I had a stressed bladder.
Oh gosh!
I know, but my bladder needs a flipping spa break.
Well, don't put anything funny up there. You don't like it.
Don't worry.
Stress bladder. I mean, that is. I bought a trampoline. I caved in, and I got him a trampoline.
Oh yeah,
and. I'll tell you this already. Now I'm looking at this monstrosity in my garden.
No, that's a trampoline chat.
It's an eyesore.
And anyway, have you had a go on it yet?
Oh, my trampolining days are over. I realised that when he was about 15 months old and I got in a bouncy castle and I did one bounce, I went, oh, right, okay, that's enough for me now.
What, because you wet yourself?
I pissed myself, yeah.
But we both talked about this, Gemma, and we know we both said, oh, yeah, I haven't got time for that, but I hate to sound like, you know what I'm going to say? Because I've been doing the yoga, I'm doing the 365 days of yoga.
You are?
When I'm doing the yoga, it's part of it, is doing your pelvic floor, and it does help, Gem.
Does Does it really?
Yeah, it really has. It's been amazing.
You actually do, you're just sucking in and out, whatever.
Yeah. You're just holding it, just pulling it in. But because I'm doing it within the yoga and stuff, I know I'm turning into one of those yoga.
No, you're not. You've been doing it, but we haven't spoken about it.
If you follow me on Instagram at Hashley Ashdown, I'm trying to do 365 days challenge of, but let's just say, when I first saw it, someone shared something about doing it, and I had a mad moment. I went to Alex the next day, I just realised what 365 days is. it's a year. What I set myself the challenge, which was just like, you know, as long as I do something every day, it's not got to be any particular time. And if I do miss a day, I just take that day off, because I think if I said it that like, you can't miss a day, then I'll just go, oh, that's it now then. But because there's that theory, isn't there, that if you've done something for 30 days, or someone said it was 25 days, but I think it's 30 days. It
becomes a habit.
Yeah, but I think what normally happens to me is I do 30 days and then I go, oh, it's done now. Something like sets in. But yeah, no, it honestly, I'm a convert. I love it. Like you said about I thought about you today because about the meditation and just needing it to. Are you still doing your meditation?
Do you know what? As soon as you said, I thought, I haven't actually done it for a while, and it's. I've got the app. I don't know if you've got stuff where it goes, meditate for a while. It's like, I'm judged by my own phone. But but no, I will pick it up again. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why I haven't been doing it, but I love it when I do it. We've spoken about other stuff like this, haven't we? I love it. So why don't I do it more, reading or whatever, you know, sitting down with a book or.
But it's that little voice, isn't it? And not again to put it back round to promotion, but as I sort of try to talk about in my show, Dig Deep, that's what I'm really interested in, is that little voice that goes, I think I had it today actually, with that went, oh, you haven't done your yoga. And then there was the other little voice went, yeah, but, you know, Buster is ill. So, you know, and it's like, no, you can't use that excuse. And so my thing is like, even if they're both there on their iPad or they're fighting, I'll start doing it. And sometimes in a dreamy Instagram world, one of them might start doing it with me, which is quite cute. And Alex said the other morning that when I wasn't here, Buster got the mat out and said, Mummy, do yoga or something.
Aww. Oh yeah.
And then when we was at the park with Buster, he was going through everyone in the family and what they did, and he said, Huggy go to school. He said, Daddy go work. I said, what does Mummy? I said, Mummy works sometimes. He said, Mummy does yoga.
There we go.
Doing worse things. I thought he was gonna say Mummy's on the phone. or on the toilet, which, you know, brings us
back round.
Is that the joke is, isn't it, that we lock ourselves in the toilet to get to escape from our kids. And I always used to think that was a bit of a joke. And but now I get it, because it, for me anyway, my kids are a little bit like, if they can see me, they just go, oh, right, can you get me a snack? Can you get me this? What job can I get you to do?
Yeah,
I'm literally having Huxley go, as I come down and says, Mummy, I go, yeah, he goes, Have you, Al's a bit older now, you don't need to lock the, I mean, you can have a poo in peace, can't you?
Well, sometimes it'll come in to ask me a question, because I haven't got a lock on my door, because I don't know, it's just the two of us, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I have to say, can I have some privacy, please, you know? And he does respect that, but.
And can I ask you the big question? Are you a toilet in front of a partner person?
Wees, yes, but not on the twos. I remember, and I still remember now, I remember my flatmate, she was having a wee, and I'm just chatting to her. I don't know why I did the bathroom. I don't know. It's fine. I'm just having a chat. And then I realised that she was doing a shit. And I said, are you doing a poo? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, my God. I was absolutely disgusted.
Yeah, I bet.
That someone would want to share that with somebody. I'm a bit funny around number twos anyway. I'm like a cat. I'm too private. I don't.
What were you doing? Were you just, don't tell me you were like cleaning your teeth or something?
No. I was just sort of sat at the edge of the bathroom. We were just chatting, right. You know. But we were younger, like early 20s, whatever. But I was just absolutely disgusted.
Yeah. No, that's a no-no, isn't it? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but are you somebody, I'm going to put a thing out there that I don't feel like you were somebody that's ever been like, you know, the girls all going to the toilet together type thing.
No. My two mates, Emily and Jenny, I remember them telling me that they both needed a poo, again, in their early 20s. Yeah. So they went into the pub and they were in a cubicle each and they were kind of, you know, racing each other, I mean, like a poo race. And they were laughing about it and whatever and being really noisy. And then they heard a flush. Someone else in there was like listening to these two girls on a poo race. Honestly. No, thanks. This, what about you?
I mean, some girls, though, over the years, because I wouldn't have considered myself a girly girl, whatever that means, but I can be. I can turn it on a bit. Mm. And I think I've had more girly times than I have others. But, yeah, I haven't – it's been like a case of, like, some girls, that's just automatically, they get up to go to the toilet and they go, oh, you come in there, like, almost like, what are you doing? Why aren't you coming with me? And it's like, oh, okay. I think, like, I have – weirdly, though, I think I have, like, with my sister, and normally it's because it means she wants to have a word.
Yeah, right, okay, yes. Yeah. It's, like, specifically like invited. Yeah.
Not a word as in tell me off. It will be – gossip. Yeah, I don't get me wrong, I love all that sort of girls talking in the toilet, it's bloody brilliant, but I don't need to go with someone to go to a toilet. I think but some girls are really, especially if you're in a pub or whatever, they're sort of like almost quite nervous, I think. Well, when we were younger, you know, to walk around.
Well, it's to walk around. I think that's what it is. It's not going to the toilet, is it? You're gonna fall down or it's gonna be dark. Yeah. It's like it's the nerves of drawing attention to yourself by standing up and walking across the pub. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
It's like walking into the pub together. I mean, I don't know, this is before, it's when you could have fake IDs and stuff, right, in the '90s.
Yeah.
And but it's big girls that were just too nervous to walk into the pub on their own, you know, so they'd wait for ages for their mate to come along.
Outside or something. We were talking about this earlier because I said, obviously, I don't have a problem. Mainly, obviously, doing stand-up, like, you're always on your own.
Yes, but
if I'm not gigging somewhere and I'm like, I want to, you know, I need to sit down somewhere and wait for a train. If I see a nice pub, I think, oh, I'll go in there and have a coffee. You know what I mean? Like, I've no problem going in the pub, but a lot of people still do, don't they? But I don't know. Would you? Not really.
Yeah, would you?
You like to stay away from a pub generally, though, don't you? I mean,
Do you know what it is as well? Just say about coffee. You see, you know, I drink tea. I don't really drink fizzy drinks or anything. So if I go to home when I see a gig and I go, oh, would you make me a cup of tea? You know, they'll bloody roll their eyes, you know, it's like a real pain in the arse of them.
That's true, actually, because I had about 2 hours to kill before a gig and there was just nowhere. And I would have actually preferred a cafe, but I found this pub and I was like, oh, can I get a tea or coffee? And it's always like, yeah, it's always the tea that's like, oh, we got coffee, but we haven't got any tea bags. I was like, yeah, you're right.
We haven't got any milk or I've got a kettle, so they give me something. Anyway, listen, I could do a whole bloody episode on tea.
On mugs and tea. But, you know, this full circle, lovely full circle to our bladders because, as they say, you know, caffeine and tea, it's not great for the bladder, is it? This is that's why my mum always used to say, oh, this would be my last tea before, you know, I don't want to be up all night.
Yeah.
Is that
Russell Kane does a great bit about him versus his wife and how his wife can drink about 5 litres of Ribena before she gets to bed and she'll sleep for 14 hours uninterrupted, whereas he like has a thimble. Full of something 6 hours before he goes to bed and he's up 4 times in the night, you know.
That's so funny. Because I think that must be me. I'm Russell then. I think Alex is like,
Do you get up in the night, dear?
If I'm disturbed, it's like that's the first fear thought is I go, oh fuck, right. Now I've got to go to the toilet. But no, I don't wake up to go to the toilet. But that's another thing that happens when you get older. I remember my mum saying, she's like, oh yeah, you get up in the... That's why people live in bungalows and stuff, because you're up in the night. We've got that to look forward to. We've got to wrap up, Jem.
Yes.
Because otherwise people will be going, you've gone over 30 minutes and I only had 30 minutes to fix this car. They fixed the car.
Climb up a ladder.
Or they've been creosote in a fence.
creosote.
Oh, it's a great word, and I love the smell. Oh, I'm one of them. Sniff it up. That's why I want to get into DIY.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fingers crossed for potty training continues to go.
Yeah, sounds like it's going great.
I can't remember when this goes out. I think it will. Oh, it's going out Wednesday. So yes, you still got a chance to come to my work in progress as part of the Camden Fringe. It's at the Camden Head in Camden, London, not Australia, because there is one in Australia, at 3:30 on Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th. It's in the afternoon, mate, so you've got no excuse. You'll be home in time for Love Island. No excuse. Anything else you want to say, Jem?
You just keep going, girls. You just keep going, and boys.
We haven't got
doing
long
well.
Now.
You're doing great.
You're doing bloody great. And yeah, be kind to yourself. I know it's a cheesy one, but be kind. Have a biscuit, have a cup of tea. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.